Our first scripture reading is Luke 19:28 through 48. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as a king. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I told them,' he said, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.'" Jesus at the temple. When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, my house will be the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him, yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words.
And the remainder of the teaching is how the week progressed for Jesus as we move toward Easter. The second reading is Luke 21:37-38. "Each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple."
Our next reading is Luke 22:1-38. Judas agrees to betray Jesus. Now the festival of the unleavened bread called the Passover was approaching, and the chief priest and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12, and Judas went to the chief priest and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. The Last Supper. Then came the day of the unleavened bread, in which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asked, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who it would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked you to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me. Then Jesus asked them, When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. He said to them, But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, And he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. The disciples said, See, Lord, here are two swords. That's enough, he replied.
And so we know the conversation from the upper room. And we move toward Maundy Thursday in Luke 22:39-71. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And on reaching the place, he said to them, Pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt down and he prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. And while he was still speaking to them, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. And Jesus answered, No more of this. And he touched the man's ear, and he healed him. And then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, I am leading a rebellion, that you have come with swords and clubs. Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest, and Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight, and she looked closely at him. And she said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "I don't know what you're talking about." And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word that the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and they demanded, "Prophesize. Prophecy, who hit you?" And said many other insulting things to him. And at daybreak, the council of elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. And they said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated on the right hand of the mighty God." And they all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" And he replied, "Well, you say that I am." And then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips."
Our next reading, Luke 23, 1 through 25. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar, and he claims to be the Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priest and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judah by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. For what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressing him in an elegant robe. They sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was insinuating the people of rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for his charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." He had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will.
Luke 23:26-56. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in front of the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed, including women who mourned and wailed for him. And Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it's dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him, and they said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written note above him which read, "The King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said that, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness the sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a man of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action, and he came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. And going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. And then they went home and they prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. May God bless the reading of these words and the retelling of the story of Easter week, And as you embark on this week, might you hold those words close to your heart and your mind. Amen. Well, congratulations, my friends. You've made it almost all the way through Lent. It's a long journey, these 40 days. And we've welcomed you, as I said, in the sanctuary today with the palms, the universal symbol in the Middle East and in Africa of welcome. You are the esteemed guests in our community today. Welcome. Hosanna. Hosanna is a verb or a noun, depending on how you use it in the native language. And it's used to express adoration or praise or joy on your arrival. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Let us pray. Holy Creator, as we walk in the steps of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the retelling of his parables, his teachings and his actions, and this last difficult week, might we be touched to his dedication to his calling. He took his work seriously to ensure that we would, for thousands of years, tell this story in our community and in our gatherings. We thank you, God, for Jesus and for his stories of Joseph and Lazarus and Mary Magdalene, for his work with the disciples, his teaching in the temple. We are so blessed, Lord, that you created us to carry on this work. Help us to awaken and arise this week and continue to lift up the people of Council Bluffs, Iowa. Amen. We're here. We're here. It's Palm Sunday. Yay, we're here. And the psalmist begins Psalm 118 in this way: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. God's love endures forever because of you and your daily expressions of God's love. Hosanna! God's love endures forever because of your work for the underserved. Hosanna! God's love endures because you provided space for a robotics team when there was none. And now we have robotics in every elementary school and middle school in Council Bluffs. Hosanna! God's love endures because you provided monetary gifts and blankets to CSI. Hosanna! God's love endures because you provided gifts to the Wings of Hope for those who were suffering and in need of support because of cancer. Hosanna! God's love endures because you provided school supplies for 300 children in Council Bluffs. Hosanna! God's love endures because you provided materials and supplies for people in the immigrant camps in Kenya and the Sudan for Pastor Heidi's work there. Hosanna! God's love endures because you sorted and provided clothes and fed 700 people free of charge at the bash. Hosanna! You see, this is you. This is work you have done, and it exemplifies the teachings from Jesus. And on this Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem, fully knowing the events that would transpire. He knew that the government and the church leaders were threatened by his ever-growing popularity, his influence, his teachings of love and inclusion. He knew that his disciples were just apprentices. They're kind of wet behind the ears in their understanding. We know this because they fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane when they were supposed to be standing watch. They were tired. Being a disciple was exhausting. But their apprenticeship was about to be over, and they would become the new leaders. They would have to do their own work now. And Jesus held out the hope that this story would create a saga that would undergird the followers of the way for many years to come. And it has. It's why we still gather in churches on Sunday. We have a story. We have a story we share. And it's my hope that in this moment, as we reflect on the love that Jesus had for us and the love that the people were pouring out on him that was unsettling the authorities, I hope that he knew how much his teaching was a breath of fresh air to the marginalized and oppressed. I hope that he realized how much they appreciated his willingness to acknowledge them as humans through touch and healing and dining with them. I hope he felt the sunshine on his face and he heard the adoration of the shouted, "Hosanna! Adored one, we're glad you're here." And for all of you, I hope you feel some of that same love and warmth of your community because you reached outside your doors to provide assistance to those who are marginalized and on the fringes of society. I really wish I could have taken all of you with me when I went to Wings of Hope to drop things off. They were so excited to get the goodies. I wish we'd all been able to be there to see those backpacks get handed out. I wish you were there when I took the food to Micah House. They were so grateful for that. I wish you were here on Saturdays. You can hear the robotics club all the way up here when they're working down there. They're having such a great time because of you. And as the psalmist completes Psalm 118, the psalmist writes this, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That's blessed is he or she who comes in the name of the Lord, or they or them or whoever it is. If you come in the name of the Lord, you are blessed. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon you. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You see my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Hosanna! Jesus enters Jerusalem. Hosanna! Broadway Christian Church enters Council Bluffs and Easter week. We're heading to Maundy Thursday, commemorating a meal when Jesus will serve dinner to the people he loves, even as Jesus knows a few of them will betray him. As Marsha Glass wrote this week, we are heading to Good Friday, commemorating a day when the day turned to night and love showed its power by dying on a cross. We are heading to a weekend of silence and death in a tomb, and the confused silence of people wondering that they had it all wrong about who Jesus was. And we're heading to Easter, when we learn that love and life are the strongest when they are broken and weak. What defeats death is not might or power. What defeats death is love and memory. As the joy of the multitude finds harmony with the cries of Jesus' tears, may we seek the beauty in the complex melodies and be open to the contradictions of life, which is where God always meets us. May your journey this week be filled with light. May we remember the journey that Jesus made this week. The frightened officials, the man so loved by his community, who was so interested in his teachings, it will get dark before the week is over. But the sun and the light and the love, they never die. May it be so. Amen.